You're listening to Cato Tool on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.
Football, or you might call it soccer, has become one of Australia's most played sports, with the Football Federation of Australia estimating that national participation is close to 2 million. It's played by more Australians than any other sport. But combined with continued growth in participation numbers, the tough economic times and the global pandemic, how does this play into the future of the sport? The key governing body in Queensland believes it's time to bring together a new plan to help the sport continue to grow. And one of those involved in spearheading this plan, which, by the way, is called the Future of Football 2020 Plus, is Football Queensland CEO Robert Cavallucci. Welcome.
Morning, Kate. How are you going?
I'm really well. So 2 million around, not quite 2 million participants across the country. What about just in Queensland? What sort of participation do we have here?
Yeah, they're big numbers across the country, but equally they're big in Queensland. We have well over 180,000 participants playing football on a regular basis. So it's the biggest code, the biggest sport in the state, which is fantastic.
So it's not rugby league country then?
No, far from it. It's not surprising. In Queensland, we come from all over the world, and football is a global game. And whilst it's uniquely local in a Queensland context, it's played everywhere because it's so easy to get into. It's so accessible, which is why we have such outstanding participation numbers.
And I'll name check the Mackay Lions, because when I worked there earlier in my career, I played for the Mackay Lions, soccer club there. And it does have a lot of, there's a lot of passion in the in that local level of sport right across the state. So what are you going to achieve, do you think, with this new plan? What's the idea?
Well, I mean, the process itself is a consultation, and like consultations are meant to be, it's all about listening. The reality is the game, the country, governments, commercial partners, all of these things are changing around us. The change is occurring on a daily basis, and every now and then, like any good administrator, we have to stop and have a look at ourselves. We have to look at how we're delivering the sport, how we're leading the sport, how we're funding the sport, and how we're playing it, and ask some open and honest and frank questions about, are we headed in the right direction, and can we do it better? So ultimately, the process, the Future of Football 2020 consultation is all about providing an open and honest opportunity for our stakeholders across Queensland to have a say about what they think the future of the game should be like.
What sort of feedback are you getting already?
It's been outstanding. We've probably had over 50 hours of consultation face to face through sort of club summits to date, and a couple of thousand responses through surveys, the various surveys that have been going on. The feedback has been really good. It's been really constructive. And like anything, whilst it's been inherently similar and consistent, there's always local nuances, but the feedback has been that overwhelmingly there is a real and genuine appetite for reform. And that can come in different forms, but ultimately there's, the state's probably quite ambitious in their views that we need to do a better job of how we govern the game, and we need to do a much better job of how we administer the game, because getting better outcomes in both of those two ultimately lead to a game that's more fun to play and more affordable for families. So which are obviously that front of mind for everyone right now.
Can you just dig into that idea of reform a little bit more? What do you mean by that?
Well, the current system of how the game is delivered in Australia is quite complex. We have literally five layers of governance. So we have the FFA, then we have member federations, then we have zones, and then we have other smaller associations underneath that, and then we have football clubs. So the challenges with a governance structure like that is that at every layer there's also an administrative layer, and at each administrative layer there's duplication of services, there's duplication of costs, and of course ultimately the experience of the participant at that particular level is different across Queensland because of the complexities around how the game is delivered. So our stakeholders through the consultation process have said to us, we want a simplified model. We want to have better connectivity to our governing bodies. We need to have more of a say, or a say at least that's able to be transmitted from the grassroots level all the way through, because when you've got five layers of governance, it makes it inherently difficult for people's voices to be heard.
Anyone who's been part of any community group or committee will tell you that is often hard to find the volunteers to actually do the work to make these organisations happen. Is that an issue with soccer too?
Absolutely. And there's a number of reasons for that. I mean, the research that, and I can't speak for other codes, but of course, I absolutely am acutely aware of the declining rates of volunteerism in other sporting codes. But however, in a football context, it is a consequence of the governance and the administration model. Because of the complexities around it, because of the challenges around it, it makes it unappealing in many ways for volunteers to want to get involved in, whether it's in clubs or whether it's in some of our administrative layers, because of the challenges in those organisations and some of the risks that volunteers are getting exposed to. They're becoming less likely to want to be a part of administering or governing the game. So volunteering within football is something that we absolutely need to shift from a decline into active participation. And the way that we do that is by presenting a model that is something that is open and transparent, where people are held accountable and that they can see it's run professionally. And when we're able to do that, we will be able to attract the right people who want to contribute to the game. And that's something that we've, not only football has failed to do, but I think most sporting codes have failed to do. Parents and family who typically volunteer in today's society, when they're looking at sports, they can see the challenges, the complexities and the risks. And it is very much, when you've got competing interests as a family with so many distractions, why would you volunteer in something that is inherently either risky or complicated? So we need to make it easier and more fun and provide more opportunity for volunteers.
What's the situation with referees? Are they hard to get these days? Is that going well?
Well, there has been, in more recent years, a decline in referees. Thankfully, we've invested significantly in the last 6 to 10 months, and we have seen some significant growth. Referees are declining, not because there aren't referees out there or for people who want to be referees within the game. But again, I sort of bring it back to the discussion around risk. Referees, we have challenges in recruiting and retaining in some parts providing opportunity because of sometimes how they're treated in a less than desirable way by parents and supporters and even in some cases players. So there are, and that's not a football specific issue, that's across all sports. They unfortunately suffer some behavioural issues that aren't really desired, and who wants to come to work to be in that kind of environment? So we have to do better, and we are, at educating parents and participants around the right behaviours, and we're delivering a whole lot of new initiatives around first-year referees, under 18 referees, to better educate our stakeholders around behaviour, because exhibiting the right behaviours will be able to encourage more referees to be wanting to be a part of the game.
And do you have the stats on the shift in that last sort of 6 to 8 months that you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Sort of before COVID, we were seeing increases of 17 or 18%, if I recall correctly, in growth in the referee space, which is fantastic. So after a number of years of consistent declines, with that investment in the right place, we've been able to turn it around.
You mentioned COVID. Has the pandemic affected the viability of clubs around Queensland?
Well, the answer to that is yes, but mixed. Many clubs are quite strong and have structures that they do have good governance models, and they do have administration models, good administration models. So consequently, they're in good positions. But yes, of course, there are many clubs who aren't in that position. But from a from a financial point of view, whether it's there's been some really genuine positive support from governments, particularly local governments, depending on where those clubs are, to facilitate more support. State government has been great as well in providing support in the right places. But ultimately, the best thing for our clubs is to get out there on the field and get the game up and running again, which is what our responsibility has been as the governing body, and that's absolutely what we've delivered. We've got all of our clubs out there, except for just a couple, participating and back in the game again in fantastic numbers.
So there's some special club summit sessions across this weekend. How will the rest of this process roll out?
So once we've finished the roadshow for this phase, we're going to produce an opportunities report, which basically summarises all of the feedback over the last few months, and to say, hey, this is thanks for the journey. This is what you've told us, and then alongside that, through our four key areas of focus, which is governance, administration, competitions, and affordability, we'll come back and present, saying, here's sort of two or three ideas around how to meet the challenges that we've identified through this process. And then we'll go back and talk to our community again. And then later on in the year, in sort of October, present another report around what some recommendations and delivery of those reforms might look like in the months and years ahead.
And do you have a dream 10 years from now as to what the sport should look like in Queensland?
Yeah, probably not to be involved. And I say that with obviously a high degree of fondness, but like any good administrator, we need to make a difference, do it quickly, and not be there for outstay your welcome, so to speak. But yeah, absolutely, we need to unlock as a code and as a sport. We're the biggest participation sport. We have an immense scale. We need to unlock the opportunity that collectively we have failed to do. So, you know, my dream or my goal or my absolute commitment is to lead the sport through that change, so that we can have outstanding rates of participation, growth in women and girls, preparation for the World Cup, to win the World Cup, to have a relationship with government that we're able to deliver the infrastructure that we need to manage our participation, to manage the growth in that participation. Football needs to stake its claim as being at the forefront of all sporting codes in Queensland, and we need to have the courage to be able to know that we can do that. For too long, we have relegated ourselves to lesser positions, and we shouldn't do that anymore. We should be proud of what we are as a code, and that's what I hope we are at in 10 years' time.
Thank you so much for speaking to us today, and all the best with the rest of your consultation.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me.
ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland with Kate O'Toole.